Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, a little bit earlier on tonight, Mal Garvin was talking about those dark economic clouds that seem to be rolling in, and that, you know, it could well be that we've got a tough 12, 24 months ahead. We keep on hearing that in the news, don't we? Constantly. We may well see 7.5% unemployment this year. That could turn out to be tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands even, of jobs that are going to be lost. What we've decided to do over the next few weeks is start this series called Managing Life in the Tough Times. Now, we're going to look at recession-proofing your business, making a business that actually is able to continue on right through and actually prosper and do well. Going to look at your spiritual life, going to look at being generous, and we're going to be talking tonight about recession-proofing your job. Can you do it? Is it possible to actually become so good that it's very hard for an employer to let go of you? Well, we're going to talk to two careers experts, Lisa O'Brien and Faye Libman. They're going to give us some tips and ideas. If you'd like to ask either of them a question, 1300 40 20 20, if you've got some sort of, I guess, maybe nagging concern that's on your mind when it comes to your career or your job, this is the time to ask the experts, 1300 40 20 20. Lisa, nice to talk to you tonight. Thanks for joining us on Open House.
That's okay. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, you're a director of careers coach, and we actually found you because you'd written a topic. I guess you'd written a paper that was very, very specific about what we were looking at. You were writing about recession-proofing your jobs. So you think there is something that we can do to, I guess, become quality employees that are hard to let go of?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously we're in tough economic times, you know, and it will get tougher. But I heard you mention before that, you know, in another show you're going to be talking about recession-proofing your business. And that really struck a chord with me, because recession-proofing your career is actually about helping your employer to recession-proof their business. So, you know, if you're somebody, you know, who has really good problem-solving skills and, you know, can identify solutions to problems and, you know, to help your employer to deal with the challenges that they're facing, then that's obviously going to help you to keep your job.
Okay, unpack that a little bit more for me. That's a very good line of thought. Tell me more.
Well, basically, you know, being someone who is dynamic, you know, can identify problems that your employer is facing and work with your employer to overcome those problems. You know, as well as that, you need to be someone, you know, who's sensitive and supportive of the issues that management is facing. And someone, you know, who is positive and willing to change, because, you know, as, you know, industries are faced with challenges, they're going to have to make changes to be able to deal with those challenges. So that may mean changing the way they do business. It might mean changing the way they look after clients. It may mean, you know, even changing what they do as a business. And you need to be someone, you know, who is flexible and able to move with that.
Well, if I walk up to my employer one day and say, okay, I can see that we're going to have some difficult times ahead, I've had some ideas across the weekend. What do you think of these? I mean, that certainly puts me in a different light when it comes to the employer thinking, well, here's somebody who's actually going beyond the call of duty and thinking more about how, as a whole organisation, we can continue and we can survive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you're somebody who not only does your job but is able to look outside of that, then that's going to make you stand out as an employee.
Okay, so be a problem solver and an ideas person.
Exactly.
Okay. How do you become an ideas person? There'll be some people who say, "Well, look, I know I'm pretty good. I get to work, and I get put to doing my job, and I'm pretty good at it. I just do what I'm kind of set out to do." How do you become an ideas person? Or am I asking you how long is a piece of string?
Not really. I mean, what it comes down to is, you know, if you can see a problem, or, you know, if a client brings a problem to you, if you're able to find a solution to that problem, well, then that's an idea.
Okay.
So really, you know, it's not about coming up with ideas that are completely unrelated to what's happening.
Focus on the problem.
Really focusing on the problems, but not getting, you know, weighed down by the problems, being able to look at it as an obstacle and then overcoming that obstacle.
Okay. What else can you suggest that we can do to recession-proof our jobs?
Well, stay abreast of, you know, what's happening in the industry, you know, do training courses, but, you know, making sure that those training courses are relevant, you know, to what your employer wants you to do, and, you know, just making sure that, you know, keeping your resume up to date, you know, making sure that you know what's happening in the industry.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you keep up to date with those kinds of opportunities for training and things like that. We may have to fund some of those ourselves, of course, because training budgets may well be cut when it comes to hard economic times ahead in terms of, I guess, you know, what the employers are looking to do when it comes to the bottom line and maximising profits, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but you can always look at working with a mentor. So you could approach somebody in the organisation or approach somebody in your industry.
Of course.
Yeah, that you know is successful and that, you know, has the types of skills and qualities that you want to develop and work with them. So
good
that's
point.
Another way to do that.
Okay, it doesn't have to have a dollar sign attached to it.
Absolutely not.
Find somebody you want to learn from and approach them. Okay, well, we're speaking to Lisa O'Brien. She's the Director of Careers Coach, and we're talking about how to recession-proof your job. If you've got a question for Lisa, 1-300-40-2020. Okay, so be a problem solver, be an ideas person, think about the problems that the organisation is having and come up with some ideas to solve them. That way, you're going to be helping the organisation and your own career. Secondly, stay abreast of what's happening, get some training, maybe even approach a mentor, stay skilled up, those kinds of things. What else can you suggest we do?
You know, is to be really positive and understanding of what's happening. You know, unfortunately, companies, you know, will have to retrench people. So you need to be somebody, you know, who can work through that and that they will know that, you know, if they have to make redundancies and you're still there after that, that you're going to be positive and that you're going to be able to move forward, because nothing will bring an organisation down faster than people who are negative.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that's very important.
Okay, so if you're not retrenched personally, but you stay positive anyway,
you need to be, you know, when they're looking at who to retrench, they're going to look at a lot of different factors. You know, that they'll go through an organisation and they'll look at, you know, is there a double up of people doing similar kinds of jobs?
Mm-hmm.
And then if that's the case, can they then, you know, tie two jobs into one job? And then they'll look at, okay, so out of, you know, say there's two people, out of those two people, you know, who can take on the additional tasks? Who would be willing to take on the additional tasks? You know, and then who's going to be positive moving forward?
Mm.
So they look at things like that.
Okay. There's this other phrase that I catch around the place about building your personal brand. What do you make of that phrase and what do you make of that idea?
Well, building your personal brand, if you think of it, it's just like, you know, how any product is branded. So if you think of yourself, I mean, I suppose it's a silly way to think of yourself, but if you think of yourself as a product and then brand you, so it's the image that you create and it's what people think of when they think about you.
Mm-hmm.
So in a workplace situation, you want to be somebody, you know, who's always professional, you know, who can always be relied on, will be on time. Your boss knows if they give you a task, it's going to get done. But, you know, your personal branding, you want that to be as strong and positive, you know, as it possibly can be.
And this all really comes down to having a good work ethic, really, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You are going to be... you're going to remain employed as much as the employer possibly can do so if you are really just a quality person they don't want to let go of.
Exactly. And, you know, if you're a quality person that works hard and comes up with great ideas, you just might be able to help other people keep their jobs as well.
Mm, yeah. How would you do that? Simply because you help the business to grow as a whole?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Very good. All right. Anything else to run past us before we let you go?
No, I'm happy with that at the moment.
Okay, yeah, right. So am I. That's great. Very, very helpful advice. Thanks for your time.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's Lisa O'Brien, careers coach, who's given us some ideas on, I guess, how to recession-proof your job to actually become that kind of person that your employer can't let go of. Some good stuff in that. I think one of the things I'm taking out of it personally is the fact that we need to be quality people who just have a very good work ethic, and that way it's hard to let us go, but it's not something we suddenly start doing now. We should always be that. That's basically what we're called to be, isn't it? Open house right across Australia, 1-300-40-2020, if you have a question for either of our careers coaches. We're talking about how to recession-proof your job. Now, we've talked to Lisa about, I guess, some of the ways to not lose your job, how to be a good employee and maintain your job, but there will be times where all of us go through a scenario where we do lose our jobs, despite our best efforts. What do we do then? What's the best way to walk forward if that happens? Faye Libman is with us now, and her role, her kind of job, is as a career support person, and she helps people to work through what's the next steps to do when that kind of thing happens. Faye, welcome to Open House.
Hi, Sharon. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Terrific. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been very interesting to talk this through. Of course, we've talked to Lisa about, you know, how not to lose your job, but if it does happen, Where do you start with somebody who comes to you and says, okay, I tried hard, but I still got retrenched? What's the first thing you even start doing with a person like that?
Resume. It all starts with a well-prepared resume. And the problem is too many people don't give enough importance to this. I think the world is just going crazy at the moment, but you really do have the power to create your own future. It all begins with taking ownership of your career, and that all begins with being prepared and getting organised, and it starts with having a market-ready current resume.
Okay, now describe what a market-ready current resume looks like.
Well, it's not one that you did 18 months ago and that has been lying in the bottom drawer of your desk, forgotten and gathering cobwebs, but it's something that you keep up to date, you've taken the time to review it, you make a habit. I think that's what I tell my clients. You've got to be prepared. Nowadays, you can't leave anything to chance. Make sure that you sit down once a week and think about, well, okay, what have I done this week? What are my wins? What are my achievements? And you need to include your achievements in your resume because that's what sets you apart from the next bloke.
How do you word those achievements without sounding too kind of boasty or proud or arrogant or something like that? Is there a way to word them whereby you can get it across, you know, very clearly that, yeah, this is what I've been able to achieve at the last role and the role before that, you know, in a way that doesn't kind of sound like I'm you know, thumping my chest?
Well, I usually sit down with my individuals and with my clients and I'll say to them, well, okay, we're going to adopt a sequence or a process which I call, it can be either, let's just say CARS. CARS stands for C is for challenge, A is for action, R is for results. Tell me about a challenge that you had in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Next, let's tell me about the action that you actually took to solve that challenge. And lastly, what were the results? But most importantly, quantify your example with a real dollar or percentage value to show me that your action actually impacted on the bottom line, because that's what brings out your uniqueness and your special skills.
Which brings us back to that whole word that you were saying before. You've got to be prepared for this, because that kind of, so you can't just, after you've left the job, say, well, what was the result on the bottom line? I don't really know. But at the time when you were doing the job, that's the kind of place where you can find out those figures.
Well, that's the trouble, Sheridan. Too many people are so busy getting on with their lives, with their families, with their works, that when a headhunter does tap them on the shoulder and, oh, my goodness, I'm in a panic. Oh, my resume, what did I do? And they're too flustered to actually sit down and do it. But if you, the theme of all my presentations is be prepared, be organised and do it now. And by that I mean make a habit of sitting down once a week and recording your wins so that you can write about it in your resume, because if you can write about it and articulate it, you then transfer that into the interview situation and you can talk about it.
Okay. Now, when it comes to listing the classic thing you used to put into resumes, like your high school, what you went to the high school and maybe previous jobs and things like that, what do you edit out of resumes these days?
Anything that's not relevant.
Okay.
Look at the job that you're applying for. Well, the actual resume you're talking about, I think high school is, look, it depends. You've got to be relevant. I mean, it depends how old you are and the level of job that you're applying for. I'm not interested in which high school you went to if you've got tertiary qualifications. There are so many different formats and variations. I think it's a very personal thing, but the thing that I hone in the most, because that's the thing that makes everyone different, and that's the thing that, from a recruitment perspective, someone would look at, what are your achievements? What have you done? What is it about you that sets you apart from the competition? Yes. Why are you special and unique? And the best way to demonstrate that is through the achievements statement. So I really sit down with my clients and I'll say, well, right, give me 12 different things that you've done over your career that makes you special and unique.
Okay, 12 different things. Very, very helpful. Okay, sounds like I'm looking for a new job myself. I'm not, folks. I love this job. Now, what about networking? We haven't talked about that yet.
Oh, that is so critical. Never, ever underestimate the power of your networks. It's your way of tapping into the hidden job market. A lot of jobs aren't advertised. An employer might be thinking about, oh, I'm going to have a job for a production planner 3 months down the track. So he's thinking about it, but he hasn't actually advertised it. So let's just say you know this guy's sister and you're talking about it. I'm getting tongue-tied here, sorry. By staying in touch with people, by staying in touch with your contacts, that guy's brother may say, oh, look, I know someone who happens to be looking for this job and they would be perfect for it. So it's really, really important to stay on the phone, be in touch with people because they really can find you a role. Yes. Recently, I was working with a candidate who stayed in touch with one of her people in a top company, and she was looking for work, and she got the job through the network, through a contact that she had within the organisation.
Yes.
So it's really, really important to stay in touch with everyone. Let them know what you're looking for. Give them a copy of your resume if you happen to be on the hunt.
Okay, all right. And again, that goes back to that preparation word, because you don't suddenly put your network together after you've lost the job.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Hey, Faye, thanks so much for advice. It's very, very helpful tonight. Do appreciate your time. We're both Lisa O'Brien from Careers Coach and also Faye Libman from Faye Libman and Associates, helping us with some pretty good tips there on how to recession-proof our jobs next week. How to recession-proof your career and your business. If you're a business person, how can we actually, our guests, put some things in place that will actually help us move forward into the future, which could be a little bit difficult over the next 12 months or so.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.